Therefore, says the Gemara, now that you're saying on the thing, Toshma. Let's see if we can bring a raya to the question of whether he has to be marked even with the thing not even there yet, or just be marked from the boundary. Toshma. Markisin et hagefet et hazevel et hamelach et hasid et hatzlaim mikol talot shalcha b'rosh moshah tzvachim. Then we have the question whether it's vissad, vissid, osad, vissid. But in any event, the Mishnah seems to be saying clearly that the only fact that it has to be marked with these items that cause heat is the kotel exists. Mikotlot shalcha b'rosh. But if the kotel doesn't exist, time and eat a kotel. Halecha kotel. So next, which is what Abaya was saying, that if there's no wall, I'm not supposed to be marking from the edge of my rishus, thinking that perhaps somebody will build a wall, says you are not necessarily. It may be that simply what the Mishnah is coming to tell us is that actually the electric kotel not be built on it. It doesn't matter whether the kotel is there or not. The Mishnah is coming to tell me the reasoning that's involved. So for Mash Malan, what it's coming to teach us, my kamashma, the hanu koshu lekosha, that the problem over here is that elements of heat are problematic for a wall, and therefore this is nogea also lahaloka in various cases where otherwise I wouldn't have to be marfik, or sivayron, cases of rokeach, and so on. So I have to know that specifically issues of heat are damaging to a wall. And you can't, if we would have just said, you have to be marked from the rishus of your friend, it wouldn't be clear that the issue is the wall. And the question is where I would not be responsible for the wall, whether I still have to be marked. It's because of a general thing of keeping such a thing away. Toshma. Okay, how about this? Markikimet azra'im et ha-machresha et me'raglayim min ha-koto. Again, here it says that I have to be marked in the mission, I have to be marked these elements from a existing wall, three tefachim. Now that is clearly saying taima to ikar kotel, like a there's no wall there. I don't have to worry about the ultimate impact of these things. I mean, that somebody may make a wall. So the Gemara again, ki lekar kotel nami lo sami. The din is perhaps that Rava is right, and you wouldn't be able to do any of these things in general. Elamaika Mashman, why then do I need to know specifically that the relationship here is to Kotel? Akamashman, the Matunta Kashava Kotel. What it's coming to tell me is simply that this type of dance causes problems for walls. And again, the Nakamina could be in a case where the specific Kotel I wouldn't be responsible for, and could tell me there's no other reason to be marking these elements. You could say, you could say, in general, don't urinate next to somebody's property. But here the and that's what I would have thought if it hadn't said minarkoto. So it's because of the specification over here that the problem is because of possible building in the property. And not in general that he could tell you don't urinate here. So that means that in a case where, for whatever reason, I wouldn't have to worry about the building issue, then he wouldn't be able to be marking me from the property.
But then it's connected to where the Maharisha.
The same thing with the Trinam operation. In other words, the problem over here is only the loosening of the soil to support structures. So if for some reason we're talking about a case in which I don't have that problem, if I can buy rights to certain things in the other person's resource, or it could be talked about a sale, in which case it was an existing easement or whatever, so I need to know what the problem is. And it has to identify the reason for its ruling. You can't simply say it, because over here the difference would be in a case where such a ruling wouldn't apply, how would I know that it wouldn't apply? So the fact that the Mishnah will identify an object does not mean that the issue only exists when the object is in existence already, as Rava claims. It may well be that as Abaya claims, it may well be that you're not allowed to be so much, even though it may only come into existence. We're only coming to identify the problem. So what about the case of the next case in the Mishnah? Tashma v'tarei chayim shlosha min ha-shechev shein ha-reba'a min ha-rechev. When it comes to the grindstone, we have to be marking it from the bottom three tefachim, from the actual moving mechanism four tefachim. So taima d'ikar kotel, again, it's identifying the kotel, halakha kotel samir. Again, says the Gemara, that doesn't prove that if there's no wall that you can be samir. It's kilaka kotel namilo samir. Hello, Micah Mashmon, all we need to know is the fact that the problem over here is the impact of Tarya on Kotel. Micah Mashmon, the Tarya, Kashmir Kotel, that this type of shaking will affect the suitability of the area for construction. Toshma, that a tanur, the next piece of the Mishnah, we said that we have to be marking a tanur. Shlosha min hakawya, which is from the bottom of the base that flanges outward, shein arba'a min hatzafa, which brings us to four prachim from the actual lip that touches the bottom of the tanur. Taimadisa kotel, again it says be marking it from the kotel, which clearly implies that a leka kotel samir, which is exactly what Abai is saying. Perhaps Rava is right. Ella, again, Maika Mashalan, the Havla Kasha Lakoto, is coming to tell me that the problem over here is Havala, that is Satan. Toshma, Lo Yitzakatam Chanucho Nastonim Lishav Sabaim, Takat Osarosha Chavelo. Let's say that you live or you own a store on a ground floor. Somebody else has a home on an upper store. In one of those rooms, he has a pantry, or a wine storage area, and you want to open up downstairs in the area that you own a bakery. So you must not open a bakery over there, or you must not open a shop for dyeing, because you're going to damage the guy who is on top, who owns the altar. The low refit bakar, nor can you open a barn there, because the smells are not going to be very useful for the food that's on the upper story. So time of the eka otsar. You see that it's only because the man already has a pantry above you. But if it wouldn't be that there's a pantry there, there'd be no problem. Haleka otsar aviv. So you know, what kind of comparison is this? The case over here is the case of Dira. Obviously we don't limit people's usages of buildings that they own unless there's a direct and immediate cause to limit him because of something else. Otherwise, what are we going to say? Nobody can ever open up a bakery because somebody may put a pantry upstairs. What we're talking about is usages that can be spread out in your hut or your field. That's where this whole issue applies. We're not going to limit the usefulness of a home. Dekanami, and by the way, it's obvious that that mission is referring to a specific case of Dira, because here and only here do we find the following qualification. Not once did we talk about it in our Mishnah or the Brisa that we brought before. The Sunni Allah says in a Brisa defining that Mishnah that Im Haita Revit Baka Kodemit Lo'osar Mutar. If the barn was there before the guy put in his pantry, then the man doesn't have to. What do I have to say that for you all of a sudden? Because we're interested in bringing out the fact that this is a special case. Tashma, lo yita adam ilah samuch l'sadeh, elayim kein hirachik mimeno arba amod, yitani Allah arba amod she'amru kidei avodat hakerem. Now this is a little bit of a problem because we know that we had the machlokes with Yosi and the Rabbanan about the 25 amod that you have to be marked from your tree, from somebody else's rishus, because of the root damage to the person's, whether it's his pipe system, his walls, his plants that he has there, and so on. You have to assume that the roots are going to run under the 25 amas. Here, for some reason, it's talking about four amas that are necessary to be able to have a karen. But the problem over here is only in terms of the work that you'll be doing on the orchard, or on the vineyard. And therefore, since we know you're going to be driving a tractor down there, it's going to drive a tractor. When you try to turn around, you're going to end up turning around to the other guys for sure. Because you don't have enough room to turn around. And that's going to damage the other man's property. You have to have enough room to turn your tractor around. All right. Tosfos is bothered by the obvious question, what happens to 25 amas? So there's a number of different suggestions. The simplest one would be that we're talking about a case of purchase. We're over here. Initially the trees were planted within my ownership and I sold the adjacent property. So there I don't have to uproot trees. I don't have anything that was done at the time that I was allowed to do, I'm not responsible afterwards. But if I'm selling, it includes obviously the man's right to have something there without my turning my tractor on it. There's other approaches. Let's take that as the simplest. The only objection to that approach is that the Gemara doesn't say it here. We'll see later on. We have two cases where the Gemara does find it necessary to say that we're talking about a case of Mokeah. That's not a fatal issue, because over here it's a side point that we're wondering. It's not the main focus of the Gemara, so plus this doesn't have such a powerful objection to it anyway. So might as well stick with this as a simple shot. But in any event, what it does say over here is that the reason I have to be marked is only because Avodat HaKeren. The time we show Avodat HaKeren, But if not Mishum Avodat HaKeren, so then I would be able to be punished, even though Afagav the Iker Shorashim, the Kamazki, there are direct Shorashim that are being mazik the other person's rishos. I don't have to worry about that. Clearly, because until some hezek is actually, something to be mazik is actually there, I don't have to worry. It's talking about over here that the property is divided anyway by a rocky area which the Shorashim don't cross. Therefore, the only problem that I have to be concerned about is the top of the property, because if obviously if I drive my tractor over, it doesn't matter what, whether the property is rocky, I'm still going to be crossing that line and driving through his field, and then I have to be marking myself. And probably the best way to read this is with what is in the parentheses. Deikanami, I can show you that that must be the case, because it also says about the same issue that Hayad Gader Ben Atayim, if the two properties are fenced off from each other, then Zesomek Lagader Mikan, Zesomek Lagader Mikan, obviously he's not going to drive his tractor through the fence. So I don't have to worry about it if it's fenced off, and there he can, if he wants to, he can put his trees all the way up against the fence, it's not going to bother anybody. He's got the problem of how to deal with that, he won't be able to bring a tractor, not do things by hand, but that's his business. So then, if that's the case, we ought to worry about the fact that there was, anyway, the problem of the Shoashim, what good is the fence on top? Again, here this Yehoki Emasefa fits in better with the alternative gears that we're not talking about. So there's two ways essentially to learn this piece. Either it's a separate Tashma, and that's the other gear that you'll see brought here in the Mesoras Hashas, in which it says again Tashma and asks why we're not worried about the Shorashim and brings a new Raya. Or it's an indication that we must be talking about it. If it was a new question, and we'd have to insert over your Hachinani Bitsunma. Okay? I just say, I like reading it like this without the Yoki Ema Sefer. How you Shorashav Yotzi Betosha Sadeu Ma'amit Rein Shloshat Fakim. Kidei Shelo Ya'akeva Ma'akresha. So we're taking for granted here that it must be talking about Sunma, because otherwise, how could the Goder make a difference if there's a problem of the Shorashim? Obviously, there's something underneath. As the Gemara, how can you say there's something underneath? Continue reading. Doesn't it say if the roots invade the other guy's field, then that person has a right to uproot anything that is within 3 tefachim of the surface of his field. So don't get in the way of his plowing. Now, I don't understand. If we're talking about a case in which there's tumma, then that's physical impossibility. See, the matzik tumma, my boss, and how did we get there? If supposedly we're talking about there's a rocky barrier between the two areas. No. It's two separate issues. We start by saying, if there's a god there, obviously there was something underneath that prevented the roots from going, then this is alokas, the somek becomes the somek becomes. Or, in the event that there was no tumma and somebody did invade, the other guys were sure, again, you raise the same issue. What do you mean? Why can't he just go and have the guy uproot the tree? Because the halacha is within 25 amos, he can uproot the tree that's causing damage with Shoashim. And here again, we have the answer. It's talking about the case of a purchase. Or it could be talking about, remember that when you get the guy to uproot a tree, he can receive compensation. Maybe you don't want to compensate him. I don't want to pay you for the loss of the tree. On the other hand, I don't want the damage. So you have a right to uproot anything that's within 3 tefachim of the top of the ground. It's another possibility. Tashma. Okay, let's see if we can bring a riot from here. Now, what does it say? 25 amas for the root is only in the case where there's a bor. That's what it says. Taimanik a bor. Holek a bor sonik clearly seems to imply that if there's no bor there, I don't have to be concerned about the possibility of putting in a bor subsequently. So you see that you can be a mazik in potential, and the only problem is when it's actually there, which is what Abai is saying, against what Rav is saying. There's other no. He like a bor non-yulosam. It may well be that even if there's no bor, the issue is still true. Kamashman, the other thing, Hamisha Amma, Adli Shorashim, Umaskil a bor. The point over here is to let us know once again the reasoning that what we're worried about is damage from roots that can travel for 25 hours. Oh yeah? So then how do you understand the continuation? You're in a tensa. V'im ilan kodan lo yakut. If the tree was there first, then you cannot have him cut it down. Well, what is that supposed to mean? According to Rava, the tree can't be there first. And if it was there first, it was illegal anyway. Right? This is clearly saying, well, no, if the boar was there first, he wasn't allowed to put the tree there. But if the boar wasn't there, he was allowed to put the tree there. Then the Baal boar cannot sue him to remove the tree, because then it's his problem, not the other guy's problem. But according to Rava, even the potential for the other, of the neighbor putting in a boar would be enough to prevent him from legally putting in a tree in which case, when he is being damaged, he should be able to sue for the removal of the tree. So again, it proves anyway that you do have a right to put the tree in, like a buyer says, as long as there's no boar there. So after Mashkatah, no, here, you see, this is where the Gemara explains, Kiriyam Rafapa below chaos. Rafapa says in a case later on, which we're about to see, that it's talking about where initially the tree was planted illegally. Now the guy goes ahead and he sells part of the property to somebody else. Now that somebody else puts in a boar. So over there, he was certainly within his rights of putting a tree in the middle of his property. Now it turns out that it's up near the boundary of a property that he sold, okay? So at that point, we can't say, uproot your tree because you planted it illegally. I planted it illegally. When you bought the property, it was already grandfathered in. So now the question is, okay, how do we deal with it at this point?
Why was it ever legal?
It wasn't within 25. Initially, it was 3 miles. I sold a piece down next to it. Tashma, how about this case? Markikinat ha-mishra min ha-yeret v'takrishim min ha-bitzalim v'tachardal min ha-devorim. So here it says that because of pollution, you have to be marking a pool that you use for soaking pishta, which produces all kinds of pollutants in the enzymes afterwards that break down the junk on the pishta side, and that seeps into the field around you. And then you end up ruining the other man's property. So you have to take that away from Yerek. If this is a place that's being used to grow vegetables, you can't expect his vegetables to grow properly when you're polluting the ground around. The same thing, this is an interesting halacha. You have to make sure that you don't plant leeks around onions. Now this is very strange. What is wrong with planting leeks around onions? And it turns out that somehow or other, having leeks around onions makes the onions less pungent. They get sort of leaky. So it's a, I guess sort of a sympathetic reaction to the poor leeks around onions. Right? And somehow or other, they're leaching the taste of the onion. It's an amazing thing. Vetachaydal min advorim, you keep the mustard away from the bees. Now, I certainly would have thought that mustard is not very good for bees because of the sharpish taste in the honey. Rashi has a very dramatic shot. This is beautiful. He says, when the bees take the mustard, it burns their mouth, so they go run back to the hive to drink some honey to feel better. In which case they use up their honey and it's not available. Yes. No. The other guy has onions, and I'm going to put in leeks. So my leeks are going to leach some of the taste from his onions. So I have to be marked between them. In any event, you see that it says Dafka from the existing Yerek, time of the Yerek, Yerek, Halakha Yerek Summit. Again, the implication is that it's just to put it in next to the boundary is okay, as long as there's nothing there that's going to be hurt by it. Well, Halakha Yerek Ramele Summit, well, Kamash, but once again, it's only to tell me what the problem is. Kamash with the Hanukkashu Ahadadi, whether or not it exists at this particular point, we're not addressing that issue. So then how do you explain the Sefer? Yafiyam a Sefer. The Mishnah continues on to say that Rabbi Yossi is Matir Bechardal. Now, this is a little bit of a problem. The Gemara is going to address this problem in the course of the ongoing piece and on the base. But I'm sure your immediate reaction is Rabbi Yossi, in general, is the one who holds that it's never the Mazik's problem. It's always the Mizik's problem, as long as you are acting within your own Rishos and are not doing something that directly impacts on somebody else. So why is he only talking about the Chardal? I mean, all of these cases should be perfectly okay according to the Yossi. That we'll see. It turns out actually Rav Yossi is only telling the Rabbanim, I don't understand even the Shitatchem why it is that you would have a problem with this. Okay, but let's pretend we don't know that yet. So Rav Yossi comes along and he says, well, the Chardal is okay. The owner of the mustard can say to the owner of the bees, look man, before you open up your fat mouth to talk to me about getting my mustard away from your bees, why don't you get your bees away from my mustard, because I don't like the way they're eating up my mustard plant. So they're damaging my mustard. So in this case, you're as much of a mazik as I am, and therefore, if you want to do something about it and protect yourself, go do something about it.
Okay.
Oh, well, now, that's the question. I mean, I'm sure he's not making it up. The question is whether it registers. Is this considered to be reasonable damage? That will be the machlokas, actually. So, Shepa'ot v'achlot lidlugei chardalai. They are having an impact on my mustard laglugin. Now, what the laglugin is something of an issue, because we'll see that the Gemara clearly understands that Rav Yossi did not define precisely what the problem was with the mustard, how the bees affect mustard. And therefore, the laglug seems to be a sort of an open-ended issue, as we'll see in a moment. Nonetheless, there's a machlokas precisely what the question of a laglug would be. Rashi learns that laglugin are the prachim. And so the question over here is that there's damage to the pricha of the mustard. So that even though it's not a damage directly to the plant, the fact that the bees poke around in the pollen of the mustard without apparently being effective at fertilizing the mustard plant damages the mustard's normal mode of reproduction. But the problem with that is that the Gemara will identify two other possibilities, as we'll see. So therefore, others, when the Tosfos learns the Rabbi Gershom learns over here, that it's just a general reference to the growth, the leaves of my mustard plant. And then the Gemara will ask, well, what exactly is your problem with that? Now, if you're talking about either low stomach, if the halacha is, as Rava suggests, that you're not allowed to plant anyway close to the other guy's shuk, whether it's there or not, I don't understand what he's saying. It's a mashakas law. How would this whole conversation is going to make sense. What is it doing over there? Why are we starting to discuss whether you're damaging me in the same way I'm damaging you? Whoever first planted there didn't have a right to plant there. That's all. Even if there were no Dvorim, why are we discussing now the Dvorim? I thought the case was that he didn't have a right to put it there in the first place. Right. If he didn't have a right to put it there in the first place, you could sue him for removal.
Up to the fence he put it.
Yeah, he obviously put it up to the fence without being marked. So what was he going to say? Well, you could say, after all, your bees are damaging. Excuse me, when you put your mustard in, it was illegal, according to Rav. So you see that Abaya is right. It only becomes a problem when the other thing exists, and now they're both there. They're both doing something which is affecting the other one, and therefore Rav Yossi is saying, look, whoever wants to act to protect himself, let them go and act to protect himself. So apparently without that, there'd be no problem. And here is where Rav Papa had made his original stipulation about the case. Because Rav Papa was clearly talking about a case of chaos. He sold the rights afterwards, so when he had installed the mustard, it was not a problem legally. It was way far away from any boundary. Now he sold an adjacent piece of property to the mustard that originally was part of the same area that he owned. And because of that, what he did was legal. So now we're going to discuss the question of what do we do with your mustard? What? He said, okay, I understand. If he sold it afterwards, how could I want to possibly argue on that? So then my time in Rabbana, the man says, look, I put in the mustard, it was in the middle of my field, mile away from anybody else. Don't complain about my mustard. If you want to raise bees, don't raise bees right here next to the mustard. It's your problem, not my problem. Furthermore, if that's the case that we're talking about a sale, why does Rav Yossi limit his discussion to the case of the mustard and the bees? Because of the mutual damage. He should have discussed it with all of the cases. Afilu Mishra V'Yarkanani, the other two cases about the polluting the guy's garden and so on. If originally he had the polluting the pool over there before in the middle of his field, and now he sold it, the guy wants to put in a garden, let him tell the guy, look, you knew that it was grandfathered in, so don't put your garden in over here. Why would he only discuss this case? Are the onions and the leeks exactly the same issue? I had my leeks here forever. You want to plant onions, it's your problem, it's not my problem. Clearly, there's something unique that Rav Yossi is pointing out about the case of the bees because they're mutually damaging. So why is it? Omer Avina says, well, Katsavi Rabbanan ala mazik rashi katapsimo. The Rabbanan hold the mazik has to be mazik himself under any and all circumstances, even in the case of a sale. Right now you are a mazik because of the current situation. You have to be the one that's mazik yourself. Ah, so then what are we saying? That Rabbi Yossi is saying ala mazik rashi katapsimo? So if that's the issue, if you're arguing back with the old problem of who is responsible in the case of causing damage within his own property, and Rabbi Yossi is saying that it's the one who's getting damaged who needs to move if he wants to protect himself, since the other man is acting completely within his own area. So now, again, why is he only talking about the being? Let him talk about all the cases. So not people Mishra V'Yarkanani. You're right. Now this is crazy. We know that's not true, and we're not going to be told for this, because it's the famous Mahalik of Rabbi Yossi. But we're going to entertain it for a moment. Let's say that Rabbi Yossi also holds that the Mazik has to be Mazik himself. Rabbi Yossi is saying to Rabbanu like this, saying, look, I would agree about the case of the Mishra V'Yarka, because over there we have the leak in the onion, or you have the pollution. Over there, one side is damaging the other. So it's not mutual damage. Over there, hani maski, hani lo maski. But, hani maski, hani lo maski, hani. But Cardano's version, the case, the third case, I don't agree with you, because over there, the damage is mutual. So why should we view one particular person as a mask and the other one as a mystic? Each one can say, look, you're just as much as a mask, you move yourself. So Cardano maski agade. The Rabbanan respond, as Rabbi Yaakov raised the issue, is this really a significant damage? So they say, Devarim, look, I don't know, Master. That's not considered to be a significant damage. Iba binata, you see, why do you think, Iba binata, if your reference was to the seeds, I mean, if the reference was, what does Lagulugi mean? That's why Lagulugi has to mean something that's so general that it leaves open any interpretation on here. So Iba binata, if you're talking about the mustard seeds, well, much capital, the bees have no access to the real seed because it's sheathed. A mustard sheep, you have to open up the sheep, it's their kidneys, in order to get to the mustard. And if you're talking about the parfa, the actual leaves, there's a hotter parry, any minor damage, leaves simply regrow. That's a word. We can't call that damage. Discover Rabbi Yossi, wait a minute, what was that you said? You said Rabbi Yossi agrees that the mazik is supposed to be mazik himself? That's crazy. But no, that's just the whole machlok. It's about the tree. The Rabbi Yossi Omer Apopish Raborko Demetli Yilan. Even if a guy had a pit, says Rabbi Yossi, and his owner shows, first, and now I want to plant a tree. I plant a tree within 25 amas of his pit. And now, a year later, the roots are messing up now the whole Bokoto Borough. Nonetheless, says Rabbi Yossi, it's not my problem. Lawyer cooks. He doesn't cut down a tree. Every man can do what he wants in his own property as long as it doesn't cause immediate and direct damage to somebody else. How could you say that? No, we don't mean that. Of course, the Olam of Yossi, all the music really. Of course, what Yossi personally holds that it's not the Mazik's problem, it's the Mizik's problem. But what Rabbi Yossi was saying over here, he was talking to Rabbanan on the basis of their own set of assumptions. Another thing, with the brand Rabbanan's coming up. He's saying to them like this, look, Liddy D, as far as I'm concerned, this whole issue is absurd. Because anyway, Allah Mizik Lahakit Katsumo. And even the case of Mishra V'Yarka, even the case where I'm polluting because of my Pishtan pool, I also don't have to be marketed. If you want to protect yourself, then move your Yerakot out or build a barrier. I don't have to be marketed. But Lidhiku, let's talk about you. You hold Damnito Alam Mazik. It's always up to the guy who's causing the damage to market himself. Fine. So I'll accept the case where I'm causing pollution, that I have to get rid of the pollution. Okay. That's the case of Mishra V'Yarka. Nani Masyani, Nani Lo Masyani. But that's because one could be identified as a Mazik, or one could be identified as a Mizik. But if you're telling me that also the case of the bees and the mustard, that I don't understand. Chardalu Dvorim Parvayu Masyadari. Both of them can cause the other one to be called a Mazik. The person gets sued to remove the bees because it hurts his mustard. So why in the world in that case would you single out the man who owns the mustard as the mazik? And Rabbanan answered, relatively, he's the only one that's doing any hazard. Because Dvorim L'Chardal Lo Matkila, he really wouldn't be able to sue for the removal of the bees, because either Binata, La Mashkacha, the flowers aren't available, they're sheaths, and either Karfa, Adikari. If you're talking about the leaves will regrow, and it's not a significant damage.